Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My goodness, I didn't think I'd ever say that again.
Nah, it's been too fucking long.
What? It's been like months since we've had a proper show. Anyway, I'm joined right now with Justin Fick of Kill Monty and Freeverse fame.
How you doing?
Doing good. We have no William Miller today. He is unable to make the show. And not to point fingers, but he is sort of one of the reasons that we've had such a lack of shows lately. Is he's been a lot busier in Boston than he has otherwise.
Now, supposedly, what, Sunday is Woman Day for Miller?
Yeah, supposedly, he says Sunday is date day. That's what we usually do the show.
Dude, fuck that. Dude, I don't care if you get woman or not. You kick her to the curb because it's time for podcast.
That's right, son. He's got to get his priorities straight in life. Anyway, so we're going to be changing the format up a little bit on the show this week. We decided to streamline a little bit. Instead of doing our normal news discussion, we figured since we do these shows so seldomly now, let's just kind of have some topics to talk about, kind of recap the games that have come out, and do the feedback. So we've narrowed it down to topics, tapes, and talk are three sections now. Also, for those of you who don't know, we're now hosting a lot of new site and a lot of new content on the site and in the feed from BigHotShow.com, which is where a whole bunch of new power I'm posting is all sort of getting conglomerated into one website. So eventually that's all going to get rolled into one officially. Right now it's still kind of two at the moment.
I think we can try putting this on the Big Hot Show, and then get, because we have a podcast feed
Big Hot Feed. Because we've been so like lacking in content, I've been putting Big Hot Show content into the Best Damn Podcast Ever.
Gotcha.
So they're slowly coming together. When I can finally get William Miller to work on the technical side of it, it'll be a little more, smooth. Anyway, this is your Best Damn Podcast Ever for Wednesday, March 4th, 2009. So the first part of the show now, we're going to refer to as topics. These are different things that we need to talk about in the world of gaming that really jar our bones or need to get talked about.
Yes, this sort of replaces news because since we only release a show every 3 months, news is by no means relevant by the time the show airs. So
right. So we figured, we'll kind of tackle some topics in gaming rather than try and like talk about the news. But certainly, if there's a big news topic, we can talk about it. All right. So I'm gonna go first. My topic of today is level design in games. Why do video games have such shit level designs? I'm playing Fear 1 the other day. Vic, have you played Fear, the first one?
I have seen it. I have not played it myself.
Okay, well, I was playing it. Everybody's like, ooh, this game's great. And I'm like, ooh, I'm going to get the sequel. So I was playing the first one. That game is so ass. Oh, my God. It's not even funny. The levels are, like, all the same. They're big, like, tubes. I mean, it's essentially a tube game, where you're supposed to run down a hallway, but they got all these branching paths that go nowhere. So you're constantly backtracking. It's awful.
Now, in this tube, does awesome shit happen?
Occasionally, but it's not directed enough for awesome shit to be happening constantly. So, I don't know. Or like, even in Fear 2, it's not quite as like, I'm playing the game, and there's a grate, and I punch out the grate, and I go in the grate, and I get to the other side, and what is there? There's like some health packs. Lame. What? I want to be fighting constantly, nonstop. Like, Fick, have you ever played any games that have like just asshole level design?
Pretty much. I mean, I've like a lot of games nowadays, like for Xbox 360, like, you mentioned games are, like a tube. Level design is a tube.
Right.
But, like, in a lot of these games, they try to give you the illusion of you have choices of places to go by giving you smaller ancillary tubes.
Yeah.
And they'll just stick a health pack in, and there's really no...
Yeah, I didn't want to go down that tube.
There's no choice to it. It's either you go down main tube, or you go down health pack tube.
it's like, what was I trying to say? If I ever see there's two paths, I have to figure out which one is the suck path, right? Which one is just the bullshit path first, and then go on with the main path, because I have to explore everything.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's pretty much a coin flip. You come to a, like a Y junction or a T junction, and you're like, well, which one of these is main tube? and which one of these is health pack tube. Maybe I want to get all this shit in the game, because now with Xbox 360, there's probably an achievement for getting the shit that's in ancillary tubes.
Right. Like in Fear 2, like I've only played Fear 2 for about 2 hours, but from what I played of it, it's pretty good. But they still got these like little like diskettes you pick up and you read them. I don't want to read in my game. All right, I want to shoot. I didn't buy Fear : the book. I don't want that. I just want to shoot shit and not get distracted. But of course, after I beat the level, it's like, oh, Blake, you only found 6 of 8 of the little bullshit intel files. And I'm sure I missed out on something by not getting them.
Well, I think that's the thing. Like, they're trying to not make games so mindless. I mean, quote unquote, you know, they're trying to make them deeper by having collectible shit that you're supposed to go around and pick up. But, you know, it's just something to populate these, like, the ancillary tubes.
Right. So another game, there are a couple other games on my hit list of crap design. Ninja Gaiden 2, for the most part, is a good tube game, right? But sometimes, like, they'll put multiple paths, and you don't know where to go, and then you have to... My least favorite thing in a game is when I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Like, I'm in Ninja Gaiden, I'm in the sewer, I'm trying to find the end of the sewer, there's a ladder, I know I'm supposed to go up the ladder, but then there's this other ladder, I can't figure it out. In a game like Ninja Gaiden, I don't want to have to choose what I'm doing. I want to be told directly, go this way, push up on the stick, and you will get there.
See, now, I'm not totally in agreement. Like, I like games where... You know, you have this, you have a level, and you're supposed to think about, okay, well, where am I supposed to go on this level? You know, what, you know, what's up this ladder? What's up this ladder? But, you know, in just like the thing, like in these tube games, it's gotten to the point where, you know, always there's two, and one ladder has your next level, and one ladder has your health pack.
Right, exactly. So some other games that have kind of some crap design elements, as much as people love Grand Theft Auto 4, all of the indoor missions in Grand Theft Auto 4 suck ass, mainly because of this reason. Because once you go inside, you know, they have all these paths, but none of them go anywhere. They're trying to give you this sense of freedom. Saints Row 2. Is another example. One game that is going the opposite direction, though, is Far Cry. Have you played Far Cry 2 yet, Fick?
I have not.
Okay, well, Far Cry 2's got kind of a GTA-style world, you know, instead of a tube, there's a big world, and you go around and do missions on a map kind of thing. But again, once you start the mission, especially like indoor missions, I mean, the outdoor missions, you can, you know, approach from different angles, and that's sort of cool. But once you like get inside the room, you know, it's the same run down the tube. Here's a fake way to go, or it's barred up with, you know, chairs or something.
Mm-hmm.
Stalker also sort of had this more world oriented approach for shooters. So here's what I want to ask you, Jessica. Have you played Dead Space?
Yes, I have.
Okay, you know in Dead Space, I love this feature in Dead Space. You go to play Dead Space, and you don't know where to go. You press a button, your right stick, and there is a blue line that points wherever you are supposed to go. That is the greatest feature ever in a game.
Now, see, that solves the problem of identifying for you
right.
Which tube is main tube and which tube is not main tube.
So I'm presented with, I get to choose rather than have to guess if I want to go down the auxiliary tubes. Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, I guess it does kind of take you out of the realism to have this line that's like, go this way. At the same time, I'm playing a game. I'm trying to have fun. You know, I don't want to choose all these choices sometimes. I just want to shoot, cut them up.
Yeah, to me, it's like it's a Band-Aid for what I've always thought has been shitty design, which is, you know, we're going to have the two paths. You know,
right.
It's like there's no exploration there. You have, you know, you're in a tube game. You know, you're supposed to fight shit down the tube, and now, you know, I'm forced to make a coin flip on, you know, as to which tube to go to, and then, you know, because what I've always hated personally, like, I've always dreaded this feeling, is during this choice of tubes, one of them is your health pack tube, right?
Uh-huh.
And if you want to get achievements, you want to get the best weapons and shit,
yeah,
you have to go down that,
right.
You have to go down that tube number two. But what some games do is if you go down tube number one to advance the story, it gets to a point where you can't go back and get tube number two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hate that. It's like, oh no, I'm going down an elevator now. Son of a bitch. Well, I bet all the coolest shit in the game was down that other tube.
Yeah, or what they do is they have both tubes be so long that you're halfway down one tube. You're like, oh shit, is this the main tube?
Then you have to backtrack.
Yeah, and then there have been times when I've done this like 3 or 4 times, just second guessing myself, like, when is one of these tubes going to end in good shit for me to get so I can get it and then go down the main tube and get on with the fucking game?
Like, I mean, I don't know. It's like, do we even need auxiliary tubes to at all?
I'm saying no.
I mean,
you know, it's like,
that does like drastically simplify your game if you don't have. What is the role of exploring in a game? Especially like a shooter. Does it have a place?
I'd say it does, but I'd say, you know, if you're going to make it, if you're going to give it an exploratory, you know, a side to it, you know, don't make your game a tube. You know, you make this like living sort of breathing environment, you know, and Dead Space kind of does it. Where you have this ship, and this ship, you know, has all these cool parts to it, and you can explore it, and,
right?
You know that kind of thing. It's really not as much. I mean, it does have like the ancillary too, but it isn't constantly like one of two choices,
right?
You know, I mean, if you want to have an exploratory part to the game, you need to get rid of that. You need to get rid of the two tube. two tube way of thinking, two tube paradigm.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm playing. Yeah, just shooters need one tube. That's how Burnout is. Make all games like Burnout. All right. Yeah. I play a shooter. I want to run down a hallway with no turns, shooting things, more or less.
So but I mean, if you want to have an, you know, like a game where you explore, you make a game where, you know, where the gameplay is about embracing that. Explore, you know, I don't have two tubes, I might have five tubes.
Right.
You know, and it's not like one tube has the, you know, is main tube and four tubes have shit. You know, it's gotta be where, you know, it's like the tubes interconnect and whatnot, so to make it a more engaging thing where I'm not just flipping a coin every 20 minutes.
Or like, now, here's one thing I really like in gaming, and Fear 2 does this fairly well, but it could do it better, is the illusion of perceived, and you talked about this earlier, the illusion of perceived choice in games. Like, a lot of times, you'll see a door, but there's shit stacked up on the other side of it. So it's like, oh, they're trying to make it like a real, let's say, hospital, is like the first level of fear. They're trying to make it like a real hospital, because why would there only be like one hallway in a hospital? But I can visually tell, just looking at it, I'm not supposed to go that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's another thing, too. Like, that's, you know, if you look at a lot of these games and you think about, like, if this level were a real place, it's like, who the fuck is stacking up chairs, like, you know, against a door? You know, most games don't have a really good reason for that. Most games, okay, oh, you know, here the tunnel has collapsed and there's a pile of rubble that I can't climb over. That is obviously not a tube.
Right.
I mean, you know, this is what's, you know, we could call it, I don't know, like, the tube renovation process or something. I don't know. It's basically taking a, you know, a real location like a hospital, which is, you know, which is not tube, and turning it into tube.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I think game developers, if you're making a shooter, stick with the shooter. Don't give me choice. I want to run and shoot. And the more time you make me do things, or even give me the option of doing things that aren't that, you know, I feel like the less fun I'm having.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, you know, like the whole ancillary tube in shooter games can be done away with.
Right.
I think either make it a part of the main tube and make it to the point where, say, you know, say if I want a health pack, you know, I would say you can have that ancillary go to point B spot, but it doesn't need to be a tube. Like, say, you know, you bust into a room and there's 30 dudes that need to be shot. And off in the distance, you can see health packs like behind a window or up on a ledge or something, and you have to get up there,
right,
to get that health pack. But you know, you're still shooting guys, so you can have that exploratory sense to it and get that shit that's in out of the way places. But it's not pretty, you know, it's not a coin flip.
Yeah.
I can see like, here's the main tube, here's not main tube, and it's a choice of whether I want to do that or not. And that's kind of what's cool about that line, is that even though they're still tubes.
Uh-huh.
The blue line tells you this is main tube, and it becomes your choice, is do I want tube or do I want guns?
Right. So look at Dead Space, guys. Come on. More people need to start doing stuff like this. I think Dead Space was a really, really well-designed game. I mean,
yeah.
I look at Resident Evil, and I'm thinking, you know, this looks good, and I really used to like this game, but I like Dead Space a whole lot too, and it doesn't have some of the key features Dead Space has.
Mm. Yeah, like chopping shit off of shit.
Or like, well, I don't know, we might talk more about this later, but you know, like you can't move and aim at the same time in Resident Evil. And I understand that, you know, I guess maybe that's more realistic, but is it more fun?
Not really. It hasn't aged well.
Right. So, I don't know. We'll talk more about Resident Evil 5 here in a bit.
Yeah. But right, so before we move on, there is one thing that I've noticed about the blue line in Dead Space. Or, you know, like Fable 2 has it too. It has a sparkly particle line.
Oh, really?
But it's what I like to call the light bike mini map syndrome.
Uh oh.
so you ever play any Tron game with light bikes?
Uh huh.
So most Tron games with light bikes give you two things. They give you the, you know, or take like a 3D version of light bikes.
Right.
You have your cool 3D world. It looks like Tron. It's got all that cool Tron, right, you know, color, art style going on. And then in the corner, it gives you a mini map, a top-down view of the entire thing with where everybody is and where their lines are.
Yeah.
Do you ever not just watch the mini map? Do you ever watch the actual game? You don't. You never do.
There's no reason to. Because you've got the 80s classic right there, which from a gameplay standpoint is even better than what you're...
Yeah, I mean it's a better source of information. You know, it's not rotated. You know, because like if you're in a 3D view, the whole thing is rotated, so you only see maybe like 40, you know, 90% or 90 degrees of the whole circle at any given time. So you're not gonna watch the fucking game. You're gonna watch the minimap.
You're right.
So and then what I've noticed that some of these games are doing now, like with, you know, like Fable does it a lot, is, you know, when you get your quest, you know, it pops up, you know, Fable's blue line, which is a little sparkly path.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that when I'm playing Fable 2, I just run along that path. I'm not really paying attention to anything else that's going on.
Oh, you're just like totally zoned in on it?
Yeah. Like this whole living, breathing world that Peter Molyneux wanted me to experience, I'm not really even noticing because I'm tracing this line with my dude. Or, you know, or take any Grand Theft Auto game. You know, like Grand Theft Auto, you know, like 3 and up.
Right, yeah.
As, you know, they had the destination on the minimap, and, you know, later on they started putting, you know, GPS turn-by-turn directions. I was like, I don't need to really pay attention to the world anymore. It's like, I know where the road is. I can actually play GTA from the minimap.
Why don't we just let these games play themselves? Why are we even here?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, in all these games, you know, I'm pretty sure there's an option to turn that off. All
right, but why?
But,
you know?
But, yeah, but why?
You're giving it to me, I might as well use it.
So, you know,
I think it's a balancing act, I think.
Yeah, it totally is. It's like you want to have a game where people know where to go, or if they don't know where to go, they're meant to explore until they find it.
Right.
Or, you know, and then you want to balance that, you know, you don't want to get lost and have no fucking idea where you are and no idea where to go, but, you know, you don't want to hand everything to them either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, one game that I've been playing that actually works kind of, you know, that does it kind of well is, you know, Fallout 3 has done it very well.
Hmm.
So like when you get a quest in Fallout, it pretty much gives you, like, the town you're supposed to go to. It marks it on your map.
Right.
Basically, you got your map, it puts a little marker there. And once you get there, then you have to figure out, you know...
Yeah.
What to do, where everything is, and...
Like, globally, and they give you an arrow... You know, and then locally, you figure it out on your own kind of thing.
Yeah. So Fallout did a good job of, you know, here is this world that you can explore, and here are these quests you have to do, and here, you know, we're going to point you in that good direction, in the right direction. And then once you get there, you're on your own.
Right. Speaking of Fable 2, how was Fable 2? I didn't play it.
You know what? I really like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, GameSpot gave it a Game of the Year, and a bunch of people poo-pooed on their, you know, award. But
I don't know if I'd call it Game of the Year, but it's definitely a lot of fun. Like they do a very good job of making it a not tube game,
right? Because that, oh my god, that the first talk about tube games, oh my god, Fable 1, that was the axe for that game. It had the worst level design of any game I think I'd played in a long time.
They just gotta play the first one.
Like, that's the opposite of exploring. See that? Okay, a game like Fable is where you're supposed to explore, right? Fable 1 literally all the environments, and it's funny that we would bring this up, were literally tubes. Like, they were just, I mean, there was no choice whatsoever. Like, you could go to different areas, and there were a couple of branches, like, in the whole world, but mm-hmm. almost all the levels, except for a few hubs, were, like, just run down this road. It was absolutely boring.
There is a little bit of that, like, once you get into the quests in Fable, and you get, like, into the cave.
I'm talking about specifically all the environments were exactly like that. So hopefully that's different in the second one, right?
Yeah, no, it's much more open. And, you know, yeah, there are a couple of tubes once you get down into the quests and stuff. But, you know, other than that, it's pretty open. It's pretty, you know.
Oh, that's good.
Pretty not tube. So, I mean, my only issue with it is, you know, that glowy path, which you have the option of turning off, but why would you?
Right.
Basically turns the game into tube. So, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like if you're walking through like a big city. Like, I'm always walking through New York City, and I don't really notice any of the cool buildings and shit because I'm staring at my feet the whole time. Because I don't want to step in dog shit, and I don't want to trip over one of those bricks that just sticks 6 inches out of the ground for no reason whatsoever. So it's like, you know, so you kind of watch your feet the whole time. That's kind of what happens in Fable. You're sort of watching your guy trace this glowy line.
Huh. That's interesting you would bring that up. Like, is this sort of like, you know, is this sort of, I guess this is even a paradigm to how we live our lives, right? I mean, because after you've done something so many times, you know, after I've run through so many tubes, you don't really pay attention as much to, you know, the environments and stuff. Certainly when I go in and play Fear 2, I've already played so many shooters similar to this that I'm paying attention to the environment a lot less than, you know, if I had just gotten to it, fresh the first time.
Well, I think, like, because we've played so many games, like, that's the thing. Like, what we do as gamers is we start to pick out the patterns.
Right.
You know, you and I basically identify, well, here's this hospital. It's like, it's not a hospital to us. We see the tube. You know, it's like your tube is showing to us. So, you know, it's like, so we can see that. And, you know, we can see basically that, you know, collecting the intel, you know, in the context of the game story, you're collecting these discs of intelligence about this secret society or whatever. It's like, no, it's a fucking fetch quest minigame. That's what we see. And I think that's, you know, kind of like what the difference is between people who don't play games, who look at us playing games. Like, if people watch us playing Grand Theft Auto, right, it's like, it's like, oh my God, he just got a hooker in his car and he's banging the hooker. And he just ran over to, you know, to get his money back. It's like, that's so disgusting and wrong. It's like, we're not doing that.
Right, yeah.
We're getting our health back.
We're so abstracted from the actual game.
Exactly. We collected a health pack and we got a money power up. That's what we see. You see hookers, we see health pack.
There's a good quote. Put that on my tombstone. All right, so anything else we want to add before we move on about level design and how it's still shit even after all these years?
I don't know. I mean, it's the thing is, if you really think about it, it hasn't changed that much. Like, even if you go back to the Nintendo, you know, the NES, you know, Mario was tube, Zelda was not tube.
Right.
You know, so it's, but I think, like, in back then, they were very pure. Like, Mario, there really wasn't a whole lot of choice.
Yeah, there is zero choice in Mario. I guess if you use Warp Whistle or not is a choice, but beyond that, or even like Mario 1, yeah, am I going to use Secret or do I just not know about Secret?
See, but the thing is, that is just putting, that is all within that one tube.
Right.
Is what I'm saying. Like, you know, say you're playing Mario and you're in that underground level. You're in world 1-2.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get to the end of it and you're like, well, do I want to use a warp zone or not?
Right.
That's I'm basically choosing which part of the main tube I'm in. And there's still one tube.
Yeah.
And then Zelda was very not tube. Like, it was, there was no tube elements to the original Zelda. You had a big not tube region, which is the overworld,
right?
And then you found these places to go to, which were smaller not tube areas, which were the dungeons. None of the dungeons in Zelda were linear. Maybe the very first one or two,
right?
So, but I mean, that was more like exploring a, you know, a grid based maze of rooms.
Sure. Yeah.
So there was no point in the, you know, in the original Zelda where I was like, okay, well, you know, I have two choices here. One of these is my main tube and one of these is my health pack.
Yeah.
You know, it was all very interconnecting. There were things to be found everywhere. So, I mean, exploration was the point of Zelda.
Hmm.
So, you know, so Mario was very pure tube and Zelda was very pure not tube. But I think, like, over time, tube and not tube decided to hook up and make babies. Now there's these bastardized versions of, you know, the dual tube paradigm.
Yeah. So I think they have their place in certain games. Like, I should not be exploring in fear. I should not be collecting data discs in fear. I don't care.
Yeah.
I know the story's not going to make sense by the end. God knows the story of the first one didn't make sense.
Yeah.
So, there we have it. Level design. Anything else you want to add before we move on?
I think we're good to go on that.
All right, so I get on my Xbox the other day, and I can't even believe it. I'm adding points left and right to my account because I got to buy all of this downloadable content that has been creeping up in the marketplace recently.
There's been a lot of it. It's sort of like the new big thing.
I know. I mean, I thought this time last year, I was like, man, downloadable content's really taken off, but I mean, certainly now more than ever. So first up, Grand Theft Auto 4. For those of you who don't know, you're dumb. And it has an expansion on the Xbox that's called what? The Lost and the Damned.
The right? Lost and the Damned.
Now, have you played this yet?
I have. Well, the thing is, I don't like Grand Theft Auto 4.
Really?
I'll be totally honest with you. Like, I got into it and trying to walk around, like drive around in cars, even walk my guy around is like trying to push around a shopping cart full of wet dicks. Like, I cannot play Grand Theft Auto 4.
Well, see, we've compared Grand Theft Auto 4 to Saints Row 2 before. And think about Saints Row is like, oh, all of the cars in Saints Row handle awesome and drive really fast and it's easy to get around. Whereas in Grand Theft Auto, they're trying to be realistic and therefore it's kind of a lot less fun in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I don't really want realistic. I want, you know, I want games like Mercenaries 2 where, you know, not only is every vehicle, you know, handled perfectly, every vehicle is also a tank. So, you know, I wasn't really digging the whole realistic controls of Grand Theft Auto 4. So I never got into it. So I don't picture myself ever getting into Lost in the Damned, but I did hear there are dicks in Lost in the Damned.
Wow! Yeah, I think somebody was telling me that too. I thought there was a dick in Lost in the Damned.
Yeah, there's a scene of full frontal male nudity. So, take it how you will.
Yeah.
I figure we have had tits in games for,
I don't know,
since God of War. I think that was my first, you know, actual mainstream console game tit.
Oh, but they were certainly around before then. Well, then again, maybe not mainstream before God of War.
Yeah, I think God of War is the first console game.
I mean, you can look all the way back to fucking Final Fantasy III. There are, you know, you don't see nipples, but there are faux tits in that game, you know.
It's kind of like Konami tits, basically.
Yeah.
You ever played Castlevania, like the original one? And...
Yeah.
But, you know, you ever notice how Simon Belmont doesn't have a face?
Oh, really?
His face is just a flat color.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like how some tits are, like in early games. Like,
right.
There's the shape of a tit, but there's no nipple. It's just a flat color.
Right.
Konami tits.
So, I don't think nudity in video games. So, I remember when this came out, somebody was telling me about it, like it was a big deal, but come on. Come on, grow up, son.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, too, is, like, nudity in Final Fantasy is all very, like, okay, well, I'm looking at this statue which happens to have a robe falling off and I can see a tit.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like, you know, I don't know.
It's quote-unquote art, you know?
Yeah, art tits. And then, you know, God of War is the first, like, oh, my God, here's this tit, and I'm going to go have sex with the owner of this tit.
Tit owner. So, that's what you refer to women as, owners of tits.
The owners of tits. The keepers of the vagina.
So anyway, Grand Theft Auto 4. I don't know. I hadn't played the new one yet because I still didn't beat the old one. I don't know. I lost interest in that game. I think it's the same reasons you talked about, Justin Fick. It's just kind of let me drive fast and shoot cars. Getting back to tube. You know, they want me to do things that aren't in the tube a lot. I just want to do tube, and tube should be a lot of fun.
You know, I guess, like, if you want tube, then you don't really want Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
You know, like Grand Theft Auto, what I liked about it was very not tube. Like, I mean, well, the last one that I really played from start to finish was Vice City. Yeah. And that had, like, a couple of beginning tubes pretty much for, you know, like, the missions and stuff. And then once you get your mansion, the whole world opens up to you.
Yeah.
So it was a very good sandbox game. And then, after that, it started forcing, like, this really, like, you know, deep story on me. It's like, you know what? I appreciate it. And, you know, from what I hear, Grand Theft Auto 4 has one of the best stories in any sort of media
people
ever.
People say that. I'm about halfway through it, and I don't get... I bet, what, does somebody betray you? You know what I fucking hate in games? It's like, oh, there's a twist at the end. Oh, what a great fucking story this game has. Knights of the Old Republic, Mass Effect, they're games that have twists. And they're like, whoa, what a great fucking story this game has. No, it just has a twist. That doesn't make it good. So
twists are good, like when they're telegraphed, when, you know, when they're twists that you really should have seen coming.
Yeah.
Like like the Sixth Sense. You know, like, you know, I'm gonna spoil it for you because come on, the guy's dead. But like, it's one of those things where once the twist happens, then you realize, like, oh shit. There are like 20 times during the point of this movie where I could have fucking seen that twist.
Yeah.
You know, that's good twist. And games like, you know, oh my God, this guy is just out of the blue. Now he's a dick.
Yeah, like a BioShock. All right, I'm not spoiler alert. The spoiler alert, the plot in BioShock sucks dick. And I don't know how everybody in the fucking gaming industry was like, "Oh my God, it's so engaging." And it was like I was watching a movie, Blue Scooby-Doo. But I mean, okay, at the end of BioShock, and or at least I saw it coming way before it happened. It turns out that, you know, oh, the good guy is actually the bad guy. Whoa. Oh, amazing. You know, and it feels contrived and dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of saw that coming just because I read all of Ayn Rand's novels like a million times a day because I'm an objectivist douchebag. But, like, you know, just because that game sort of pulled from that so much, you know, where Andrew Ryan not only is, you know, very close in name to Ayn Rand, but it like has all those ideals, and the code name of some dude is Atlas, which if you read the books, you know that, okay, well, that's another Ayn Rand big time, you know, symbol. It's like, you know, he's like, he can't be the enemy of the bad guys.
Right.
So you knew that he was going to, you know, stab you in the back at some point. Just the question of how and when, but the thing is, like, the how and when of it was kind of cool. Like, I actually did like the twist in that story, even though I knew it was coming for the longest time.
Yeah.
And it was kind of out of nowhere, but it's one of those things where you go back and play it through a second time, and it's like, oh my God, that's kind of cool. So, I didn't mind BioShock.
It doesn't suck, but I'll agree with the story doesn't suck, but I think it got way overhyped, you know, certainly by the marketing at 2K and, you know, game reviewers out there.
I think what I didn't like about it is that it started off with this cool premise and this cool setting and these cool characters, and then by the end it turned into fucking demons and shit.
Yeah.
By the end of it, I stopped caring. Like all the parts after the part with Andrew Ryan, like after you get to him, I stopped giving a shit about the story.
Right.
So, but yeah, going back to downloadable content, you know, it's like I'll never really get into Lost in the Damned, but what I will get into is the Burnout Paradise DLC.
Oh my God. Dude, have you played this new Burnout DLC?
I haven't played the new stuff.
Oh my God.
Is it the DeLorean? DeLorean's out now?
Dude, okay, first of all, they got party mode now, which is where you have a party with your friends, and you get to, like, do all these different, like, how many flips can you do before you hit ground? And then you trade off the controller. So they came out with that a few weeks ago. And then like 2 weeks ago, they came out with, they came out with DeLorean, the Ghostbuster car. What else is in that pack?
The Dukes of Hazzard car.
Dukes of Hazzard and Knight Rider. Hello. I will buy all of those. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think the, you know, out of all these, Burnout Paradise has the best downloadable content because every time they come out with downloadable content, you're like, holy shit, this is cool extra stuff that wasn't in the game originally, and
it's not,
you know, I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, and it's a new way to play the game. Like the DeLorean car, it flies. You press a button, it fly. It'd fly. That's awesome.
It'd fly down tube.
No, I love getting on the interstate, you know, in that game, and just on the in the DeLorean and seeing how far you can make it on, like, max boost, you know, before you crash. Oh, and another thing they came out with for Burnout, you know, they're coming out with a new level soon, too. That's going to be freaking awesome. Like, a whole new island.
Whole other island, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's good. Because there's this one part, it's this big tower, and they're like, yeah, you drive to the top of it and then jump off.
Great. Yeah, it's like they're definitely taking, like, what is the craziest shit people do in Burnout, and they make a game just for that.
Right.
You know, and then Party Mode, it's like they understand how people play Burnout.
Right.
It's like you crash the shit out of your car, then you pass the sticks to the next dude.
Yeah,
and then he does the same.
We're all drinking, you know. I done crashed, now it's your go. They turn that into a real game mode.
Yeah, it's like they realize that Burnout Paradise isn't the restaurant game where all people must be playing at the same time and enjoying the full experience. No,
right.
Burnout Paradise is a joint. You take your piece in the joint and you pass to the next guy. More than one person cannot burn out at the same time. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, Burnout is in my mind, the way downloadable content should be done.
Absolutely.
Because what I'm noticing with downloadable content now, and this is sort of like my main beef with it, like, I like it, and if I enjoy a game, I want more of it, obviously, but this, you know, to me, it's becoming an expected business practice. So I'm going to have my game come out for $60, and then, you know, I'm going to have my downloadable content drop like 2 months later for another 20.
Right.
You know, it's all part of the business now. So it's expected that, you know, Fable 2 is going to have Not Whole Island, GTA 4 is going to have Lost in the Dicks. You know, it's like they're all going to have that, you know, their one expansion pack, you know.
Right.
But,
and, you know, I think that's a really, I mean, as long as the content is good, there's no reason, you know, to be opposed to it. A lot of people are like, oh, downloadable content, why you charge for something I already have? As long as it's good and you're giving me something new I want, absolutely, I would pay for it.
Yeah, it's easier on the developer side than making a sequel.
Right.
You know, because, you know, games take, you know, a year and a half, 2 years to make now. It's like they have these huge budgets, you know, and they're only giving you so much content for each game.
Right.
You know, at some point that content ends.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is their way of making more content for less money, you know, less cost to them. You know, and then obviously you like it because if you enjoy playing the game, hell yeah, you want 10 more hours of gameplay.
Right. And see, another thing. Okay, now what do you think about this, Justin Fick? They released on Burnout this thing. It's called like the car unlock, you know, pack or whatever. You buy this thing for $5. It unlocks all the cars in the original, not like the new cars, the DLC cars, but all the original cars in Burnout.
Okay, so basically for $5, you don't have to go around and unlock all those cars yourself.
Right, it unlocks them all for you. Now, what do you think of that?
I think, you know what, like if people want to do that, because I mean, for some people, their time is more important than their money.
Right.
And, you know, in some games, like, I might want to do that, actually, because, you know, especially lately, like, I've been, you know, between work and then when I get home, I'm working on my own game.
Right.
You know, I only have a couple minutes every day to really play.
Right.
So, you know, maybe in that case, maybe I do want all the Burnout cards. Maybe I don't want to spend 30 hours unlocking
exactly
all of them.
Like, I play.
So, you know what, for $5... I would do that.
Yeah, like I played Burnout Paradise for around 35 hours total, and I've unlocked about 80% of the cars. But to get to that last 20%, I would have to play for like 50, 60 hours or something. Am I going to do that for like 5 cars? Hell no. $5, give them to me now.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think what's not a good idea, like say, now take, say, a, like a role playing game, like you know, take a game that you can play player versus player online.
Oh yeah,
you know, an Xbox Live ranked match. If this thing that you buy gives you a distinct advantage over, you know, people who have not bought it, now we're getting kind of sketchy.
Right.
So like, say if, you know, Halo comes out with a mega gun pack or something for, you know, for $5-$10, and that gives you guns with infinite ammo, one hit kills, and all that shit. Basically, you're gonna have, you know, the game is going to be separated into people who have bought the guns and people who have not.
Right.
And, you know, basically, if you want to be able to, you know, hold your own in that game, you have to buy that, make a gun pack.
Exactly.
So that's where I kind of jump off the bandwagon with that.
All right. So there's a little more DLC I want to talk about. Mirror's Edge. I don't know if you played this game. It's pretty cool. I don't know if it's worth $60. I bought it right when it came out. It's a pretty awesome game, but it's got these cool time trial modes, and they've got these new DLC time trials that are like a total graphical overhaul of the game.
Yeah, they're totally abstract and they're not like in any setting at all. Yeah. I think it's a cool idea. Like, I will say I have not played it. It's on my GameFly list, and they keep sending me games from like my fucking number 8 spot.
Oh, really?
So like, I got Mirror's Edge up at the top. I got Prince of Persia up at the top, and they keep sending me like fucking, you know, Alaska Hunting 2008 and shit.
Why is that even in your queue?
Well, actually, I just took that off, but I used to have a bunch of games on the queue. In fact, my whole GameFly queue was all shit games that I was playing to get achievements for. Like, there were maybe a couple of games that I wanted to play, but the things I kept bumping them down because I kept thinking I could play this shit game for 5 hours, get 1,000 points, send it back, and be done with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, recently that had come to a grinding halt because I had gotten to the two Cars games on my GameFly list. There's Cars, and then there's another version of Cars where you're Mater or something. I actually didn't even play that one. Like, I got maybe like halfway through Cars, and I just started pulling my hair out. I fucking had like the Xbox Live nervous breakdown. I was like, I can't fucking take it anymore. I can't take these shitty games anymore.
How many points do you have?
I like 30,000.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, well, the thing is, I don't really play a whole lot of games recently.
Uh-huh.
So, and then I had it, I went up from like 15,000 very fast.
Yeah.
But it got to the point where, you know, playing through shit games, like I played through fucking Pirates of the Caribbean, which is a shit game. I played through all these, I played fucking Aragon for 1,000 points. Like, and they're all so bad. Like, I don't even know how games like this can even get away with existing. Like, they're totally worthless in the grand scheme of things, except for a movie cash-in, tie-in, ancillary merchandise kind of thing. Like, these games are pointless. Like there's no reason for these games to exist.
Well, somebody makes money off of them. Yeah, and somebody somewhere likes them.
Yeah, and somebody's making money off them because I obviously rented all of them to get points, but you know, going through Cars, that's when I broke. That was my breaking point. I was like, I can't take this shit anymore. So I sent that one back. I sent back the second Cars, not even playing it, and I took like 20 games off my list.
Yeah. All right. Well,
so
don't
that was a broken man after that.
Well, getting back to downloadable content, one more game I wanted to mention that's got some new downloadable content: Halo 3. I just saw this on my Xbox yesterday. This new Mythic map pack that's coming out here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for it.
I'm not a big fan of Halo 3, but this map pack looks pretty cool.
Yeah, like, well, I've been getting into Halo 3 more and more. Like, in the beginning, I wasn't.
Right.
And then, you know, I started getting to people, you know, a couple people that I play with all the time, then I started playing it more. And, you know, like, I think the cool thing about Halo, what they're doing now, is they have the Vidmaster challenges.
Now, what is this?
Now, these are very hard things that you have to do in the game, and there's achievements for them. I know, I want to say...
Are they all multiplayer themed?
Yes.
Okay.
So, for instance, one of them, and this one was actually a lot of fun, was to play... Let's see if I can remember the criteria here. It's, you have to play a 4-player co-op game on Xbox Live. You have to play the final mission on the hardest difficulty with the Iron Skull turned on, basically meaning if any of you die, all of you die.
Oh, that sucks.
Actually, it was a lot of fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, like, so, wait, when you all die, do you go back to a checkpoint, or do you have to start the whole thing over?
Checkpoint.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's not so bad.
Yeah, so, yeah, I want to say there is a skull that takes you back to the beginning of the level or something.
Yeah.
But this is more like, once you get a checkpoint, and one of you dies, you go back to that checkpoint. So, it's like, eventually you'll get it.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun, and then, you know, like the way to do that is, if you play 4-player co-op in that last level... You know, they park a couple of ghosts for you all to ride individually.
Oh, really?
So it's kind of cool. So you're all tearing out of that last level like a biker gang.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
So that was actually a lot of fun. There's one for getting a certain amount of experience on their new experience system, which we all got banned for because we gamed it. And then there's one which is on every one of these new maps in this Mythic map pack. There's a skull.
Uh huh.
And the only way to find them is to play a multiplayer game. So so you're working together with your buddies to scour these maps and look for these skulls. So it sounds kind of cool, and I think like the reward for doing all these Vidmaster challenges is some special armor.
Yeah. Oh, something. I'm sure they got something. Yeah, did you see there's this one level that's like a new forge level where you can like make your own level, but not only that, it's got like multiple levels, so you can like make a level like up in the air and also have a teleporter to a level down below.
All right, on. So, yeah, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it's got a whole bunch of cool stuff, so definitely if you're into Halo 3 or even if you're not, you may want to check out this new Mythic map pack that's coming up here probably in the next month or so.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, this is kind of pissing me off. Like, you can get them now if you go buy Halo Wars.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Dude, I heard that game was kind of butt.
That's what I'm hearing, too.
Have you played it?
I have not played it. I'm going by hearsay.
Yeah, same here.
So, I've heard that it's kind of cool, like, it's a Halo RTS, but it never really gets all that deep. Is the word.
It's kind of a cash-in on the license.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Halo 3 is another example where I'm like, you know what? That's good downloadable content.
Right. All right. Well, those were our discussions for the day, or our topics for today. Now that topics are done, it's time for tapes. So first up on tapes, we're going to talk about the games that have been released in February and the games coming up in March, the key titles, what to look out for, what you need to be playing. So we'll just
this is sort of like taking the place of both releases and judgment.
Right. Because, most of the time we already have fairly solid opinions on a lot of these games, most of them being butt.
Yeah.
And so we'll figure it out. All right. So I'll start us off. Burnout Paradise Ultimate, February 5th. This is this new Burnout that's got all the DLC built into it. If you haven't bought Burnout yet, you are dumb. You need to go buy this Burnout right now because it is awesome. If you like racing or even action games or even games in general, you should like Burnout.
Or if you just like life.
Next, Fear 2. It came out February 10th. I play this game a little bit. It's pretty good. It's got spooks. It's got shoot. It fixes a lot of the problems I had with the first one. So not a full judgment yet, but so far, tentative thumbs up. Now, I don't know if you've heard of this next game, Justific. Onichibara Bikini Samurai Squad.
I've heard the name. I've seen it on Kotaku. I have not seen any details
I have seen this game in stores. I didn't think it was real until I saw a copy in stores. Apparently, it's absolutely awful. But you play a bikini girl that goes around and cuts up zombies with her breast. Well, wait a minute. She has breasts, but doesn't cut people with them.
Same difference.
But I like that it's ridiculous and over the top, but apparently the gameplay is pretty awful. It's been getting pretty poor reviews.
Points in the title, though.
Yeah. And it's by D3. I love that D3 is putting out all of these like weird titles that would normally never make it over to the States.
I give a lot of props to D3. They got some balls.
And D3's got another title in this list, too, we'll get to in a minute. Mm-hmm. House of the Dead Overkill, February 10th. This game looks awesome.
I'm kind of excited about it. Yeah.
It's gotten...
I don't have it. I'm excited about it, though.
From the look of initial reviews, it's gotten fairly decent reviews. But for those of you who don't know, House of the Dead is a classic light gun game where you shoot zombies. But it seems like this game is not taking itself seriously at all. Like, the art style is very kind of like grindhouse and like goofy and has this hard kind of comedic edge to it. Some of the screenshots looked absolutely ridiculous. There were like mutant zombie clowns you had to shoot. That had their like brains coming out of their heads.
This is another one of those games where it's like they realize what people like about House of the Dead.
Right.
And they realize what people like about the Wii. You know, because honestly, like, I don't know about you, Blake Buck, but the only games I play on my Wii now are light gun games.
Yeah, seriously. Look.
I enjoyed Resident Evil 4. Uh-huh. I enjoyed Umbrella Chronicles.
Right.
And I'm excited about Overkill. I don't really play anything else
anymore. I know, the Wii has sort of turned into this, it doesn't appeal to mainstream gamers. I don't really honestly know who most of these games appeal to. You look at the stuff on there, there's like The Price is Right. I'm in the store, I see The Price is Right for Wii. Who's like, oh boy, Gonna snatch that up. Bet that sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like the Wii was very successful at getting that lowest common denominator to play games. Like, you know, little sisters and little kids and moms and, so, and so grandmas now they realize they're all playing Wii Sports, so they want to market stuff to that group.
And they don't have to make really great games. They can just make, you know, whatever, slap a label on it, and it'll still sell a decent number of units.
Yeah, as long as it's got SpongeBob in it, you're golden.
So anyway, this House of the Dead Overkill, I read somewhere that it has a remix song you can unlock of Suffer Like G Did from House of the Dead 2. If that's not the fucking most awesome thing ever.
Yeah, thumbs up on that, even without playing it.
Yeah. All right, you want to take these next ones?
Yeah, I'll take the next couple ones. Okay, February 15th gave us Street Fighter 4.
Now, okay, what have you... Everybody's been pissing on themselves about this game. Have you played it, Justin Fick?
I've played it. I got it. The game frustrates the shit out of me, and I cannot stop playing it.
Really?
Yeah, like, because first we got it for the office, or due to the office had it and brought it in. Like, we actually ordered a...
office
like
copy?
The Street Fighter 4 tape, and then we're going to get the heat sticks when they come out in April.
Oh, man.
Like the full-on, like, arcade sticks.
That's
so
cool.
So I played a little bit at the office. And then, you know, I enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. And then, you know, I was drunk last night and happened to stumble into Best Buy and buy it.
Yeah, that can happen.
Yeah, like most people get drunk and they, you know, get drunk at bars and they go home with random people. I get drunk, I go into Best Buy, I come home with random games. But yeah, so I picked it up last night and got into it, and I, you know, it's one of those games. It's sort of like a love hate relationship. Like, I love the game. It's a great game. Okay, and but my first impression of it, you know, well, second impression. The first impression is that it's a great game. Second impression was I just spent $60 to remind myself how much I suck cock at Street Fighter. So I got into the game and I'm like, okay, well, I haven't played Street Fighter in, like, you know, seriously in 18 years.
Right.
So, okay, so I'm gonna knock this difficulty level down a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm going to start playing through, like the arcade mode to sort of get myself back into it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and apparently you can set this option where as you're playing through arcade mode, people can challenge you on Xbox Live.
Oh, okay. So, like, you're in the arcade or something, right?
Exactly. And that's a cool idea. I didn't realize that I had set that.
Uh-oh.
So I'm playing through arcade mode, and it pops up like, oh my god, a challenger approaches, you know, and I'm like, holy shit. And it goes into Xbox Live game. And this dude who's obviously, like, these last 18 years been playing Street Fighter constantly basically bends me over and fucks me up the ass, like, three times. So I'm like, god, okay, this blows. Like, and this is one of those guys that, like, knocks you down and instantly throws a fireball, so when you get up, like, you and the fireball are in the same spot. Yeah, so that had me really frustrated, and then, you know, it's like, I don't know. So I wasn't able to pull off any special moves, and it's just like, shit. I just spent $60 on this tape, and I'm sucking goat cock at it.
Yeah.
So I got pissed off, and I put it down, and then, like, you know, an hour later, I went right back to it, and I'm like, shit. And I started doing the training mode and started teaching myself moves. I got good with a character.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and then I got back into it, and now I'm doing kind of good.
Yeah.
But now I still play online, and people rate me up the ass.
Well, see, here's my problem with all fighting games. Your amount of fun you have with a fighting game is directly proportional to the amount of which you win.
Yeah.
Like, and oftentimes, especially when I play, like, really technical fighters, like Virtua Fighter, or even like Tekken can sometimes get this way. Like, it's that, like, only these really, really good people are really, really good at it, and you just get fucked the whole time.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've told myself I'm never going to buy another fighting game. And then I buy it, and then I'm like, I like it initially, and then I just get fucked over and over and over and over again, and I'm like, I hate this. Why do I keep buying fighting games?
So I would revise that a little bit to say that for me, the fun I have with fighting games is proportional to, you know, whether or not I'm getting better at it.
Right.
Because, you know, I can feel myself getting better at Street Fighter 4. I can pull off combos now. I can pull off super ultra remix combo 5,000 willies now. And, you know, and that's got it kind of cool. Like, I can, you know, I can bump the, you know, the level up a bit, you know, and then also to be honest, like, The game got a lot more fun when I went into the options and turned off the allow random people on the internet to fuck me up the ass option.
Yeah.
So, you know, turning that off and then, you know, once I can get myself to the point where, you know, I can compete with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel myself getting better. So even though I still suck at it, it's still fun. Like, I still feel myself improving.
Well, I think the last fighting game I had fun with was, like, Soul Calibur 4.
Yeah, I never got into 4. I played 2. Well,
all the Soul Calibers are the same because they're very easy to pick up and play. And even if you're not that great, you know, even if you just kind of mash some buttons, you can usually do at least halfway decent.
Yeah.
I think that's a problem a lot of these fighting games has, is they tailor themselves so exclusively to, like, the elite hardcore, you know, and not the casual player.
Yeah, I wouldn't say the, you know, that Soul Calibur, even though it's very easy to pick up and do cool shit, you know, they're, like, if you go into the training mode in Soul Calibur, look at the move list, you have, like, 50 moves per character.
Right. Yeah, so, and, like, on the high, like, I think you have to have a separation between that low end and the high end. You pull somebody in with, you know, with the casual ease of play, and then you keep them there by making it, you know, have more options you learn later on.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, for a casual person playing Street Fighter, when you mash the buttons, you're not going to do a whole lot good.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to jump around like a round mouth. The other dude's going to throw 10 fireballs up your ass and then dance on your grave and pour sugar in your gas tank. So, but I think what's cool about Street Fighter, though, is that, you know, the move list for guys is only maybe like 5 or 6 moves.
Yeah, that is cool.
You know, there's really only a couple moves you got to know, but there's so much depth to them that, you know, you can basically get this really deep, engaging gameplay with just two people that have 5 moves each.
Right. Oh, another thing, this kind of reminds me of you saying that. I recently purchased DBZ Burst Limit on my Xbox. I love this goddamn game. Because, again, you don't have to know all the moves for every character are the same. Punch, jump, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do a super move, it's up and B. They're extremely, almost like Smash Brothers simple moves.
Okay.
And it's very accessible. And you can just mash buttons and still have a lot of fun. And it is ridiculous. I love it. So I think those are the two sort of sides of the coin on fighters.
Yeah, yeah. Even Smash Brothers, yeah, every character has the exact same, like, move set. Really.
Yeah, I mean, they do different things, but all the button combinations are the same.
Yeah, it's just which combinations do which moves for a character. Maybe, like, down and B for one character blows.
Right.
And for another character, that's his main move.
Right. All right, so let's keep going down this list here.
All right, we got February 18th gave us Dawn of War 2.
Is that any good? I haven't been keeping up with Dawn of War.
I haven't played it. I have not been keeping up with it. It's got war at dawn. It's the second one.
All right.
That's all I know about it. February 17th gave us GTA Lost in the Damned. It's got dicks. Go get it. And then February 27th gave us Killzone 2, another game which I am not really following.
Supposedly, it has been getting really high marks, Killzone 2.
No shit.
Yeah, supposedly it's supposed to be really good. I haven't played it. I haven't read any review. Well, I just looked at it, you know, numerically, but supposedly it's really good. So maybe by the next show we'll have you a more in-depth look at Killzone 2.
Groovy. All right, take these next ones.
Okay, February 24th, Tom Clancy's End War. This is I guess Ubisoft's answer to Halo Wars. It's an RTS game that you somehow use your mouth. You tell them to run around. This bouncer, this is kind of an aside. I go to this bar a lot, and this bouncer, every time I went in the bar, was like, dude, have you played that End War demo yet? It's awesome. So the bouncer at Burgundy Room likes it. That's what I can tell you about End War.
Well, I mean, if he likes it, then why shouldn't he not like it?
Why? I mean, he likes beaten faces. I like beaten faces. It sounds great. 10 stars. Go get it. 50 Cent, Blood in the Sand. Okay, now, this game's been getting kind of so-so reviews. It's 50 Cent.
Well, the thing is, people like to rip on it because it's 50 Cent, but, like, the whole premise of it is so ridiculous that it's become awesome.
He's got to get this, like, magic diamond in the desert, but terrorists have it. How awesome is that?
Yeah, like, as I understand it, the whole story of 50 Cent Blood in the Sand is 50 Cent does, like, a rap show in Iraq, and then they don't really have any money to pay him, the venue manager or whatever it is, so he gives him, like, this crystal skull. But then terrorists come and they gank your shit, and they steal your skull, so you have to get your gat and go bust heads.
Like, that sounds awesome to me.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I would ever buy this game, but if it were on the shelf for, like, you know, $20, I would consider it.
Yeah, this is definitely a GameFly title.
Exactly.
Rent that heat, beat it, go 50 Cent.
All right, the heat bag. Next up, we got Star Ocean: The Last Hope, came out on February 24th. I know absolutely nothing about this other than Star Ocean is a fun Square Enix role-playing franchise.
Is this Square Enix?
Yeah, well, it was Enix back in the day, Star Ocean. Okay. But now, you know, since they merged a few years ago, it's a Square Enix title. Anyway, Star Ocean, when I played it back in the day, was fun. I didn't even realize. Maybe this release date is wrong, because I hadn't seen any reviews of this game yet. But
maybe no one really cared about it.
No, sure they do. It's a big Square, you know, Square release.
Okay.
I don't know. But
I really haven't heard much about it. I mean, I know what Star Ocean is. That's about the extent of it. Like really the only RPGs that I follow nowadays are none. Fallout, Fable, and they're all Western RPGs now. Like I don't really play Final Fantasy anymore. I'm playing through I'm actually having a lot of fun playing through the Dragon Quest tapes for DS.
Uh-huh.
Like they're doing a good job with those. I'm playing through Chrono Trigger again on DS. That's it.
I'm looking here on Metacritic. It's getting mostly eights, the Star Ocean game.
Okay.
So, if you're into Star Ocean, maybe check it out. Let's see, let me read this tape. Oh, dude, these graphics are hot. Look at this thing. All right. Well, anyway, moving along. What else we got on the release list?
All right. February 24th gave us Puzzle Quest Galactrix.
Now, oh, yeah.
Have you played the demo of this?
I have not. Have you?
I have. It's pretty cool. Like, the... I'd say the quest part of it is way cooler than Puzzle Quest, because Puzzle Quest just gives you the map and you walk your dude around and blah blah blah, and you know.
By the way, I've been playing a shitload of Puzzle Quest recently. I don't know what it is, but I cannot stop playing that game.
I've been going back and playing through the new characters just because also I want to max out my my achievements on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Plus they have that expansion, so I'm playing through with a rogue and it's kind of fun.
Oh wait, now you've bought the expansion, right?
Yes.
I'm playing through the game currently. Should I buy the expansion while I'm still playing it, or should I wait till the end to buy the expansion?
Because
I'm about halfway through the game right now. I'm like level 27 or something.
Okay. I'm not as far as you are. I haven't noticed anything new yet, because I've played it and beaten it on the DS.
Uh-huh.
I haven't noticed any new quests yet. It is fun to play through with the new characters.
Right.
Like, I didn't want to pick the same classes I had before, so they actually gave you, like, four new classes, and they changed the game up a lot. It's a lot of fun. So, I'd say if you have a character that you're working through,
mm-hmm.
I think you're probably good until you beat the game.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway... I don't know
for sure, but that's what I think.
I read one review of this Puzzle Quest Galactrix, which is, you know, like a space-themed Puzzle Quest, supposedly. Is... GameSpot reviewed it and took a big giant steaming shit on it and said it was awful.
No kidding.
They gave it like a 2 and said they took everything that was fun about Puzzle Quest and ruined it. So, I don't know. I don't know how true that is or not, but definitely not a fan with GameSpot.
Yeah, I've played the demo of it for a little while, and then, you know, it was up on PartnerNet also, but like... The quest part is so much more deep. Like, it gives you a star map, kind of like, I don't remember, Escape Velocity.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like that, and you go to different planets, and I think that side of it is way more well done. I think the actual battling part is not as well done.
Hmm.
Because now it's all hexes instead of squares.
Right.
So
they said a lot. It was left. There's a lot more left up to luck rather than in the first game where it was, you know, kind of half luck, half skill. They said it was almost all luck, and
yeah,
it was
impossible. They added too many elements to the combat that made it a little confusing. Like, for instance, you know, when you match stuff in Puzzle Quest, new shit drops from the top.
Right.
That's, you know, that's the way things go. They fall in from the top. Now, in Galactrix, whenever you match something, okay, the board itself is shaped like a hex.
Uh-huh.
So there's six sides to it. And things can come in from any one of those sides, depending on which direction you match a gem.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
So if you swing a gem up and left, things come from bottom right. It's kind of confusing. I never really wrapped my head around it, and I just figured, okay, it's all luck.
Right.
You know, so yeah, that part does kind of suck.
All right, so moving on. I want to do this next release. Eat Lead, okay. The Return of Matt Hazard comes out on March 3rd.
This looks kind of cool. I'm getting more and more excited about it the more I hear
it. I just saw a copy of this game in the store. I guess the dudes at the game store got it early yesterday, but they were like, Blake, buy this game right now. And it looks awesome. I looked at the cover. There were a bunch of guns on it and a dude with guns.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, that I don't know if you're familiar with the story of the game. That's kind of like what seems to be the selling point. So basically, it's about Matt Hazard, who is, he's kind of like a Duke Nukem.
Okay.
But
very similar name.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, you know, like, this is his first game, really. But the game assumes that he's had this whole history of games. so the first game that stars Matt Hazard was The Adventures of Matt in Hazard Land, which was like this old, like, Atari NES kind of tape. Wow. With Contra-style graphics. And the whole thing is, like, you know, it's kind of like one of those VH1 behind the scenes where Matt Hazard gets, like, really popular. He gets all these chicks, you know, like he talks about how he banged the Tomb Raider chick. And then like, you know, so, like, somewhere along the line, like, his publisher sold him out. And then they started putting him in, like, Mario Kart games and, you know, children's games. And so he gets fat and, you know, he becomes, like, this train wreck.
Uh-huh.
So, like, the game is kind of like, it's like you're going through these old games and you're sort of fighting, I guess, like, the publisher or whatever. I'm not sure exactly about that. But, like, you know, like the little voice in your head, like you know, your little buddy that tells you to do stuff is, like, your QA lead in the software company.
Wow.
In your game.
Dude, that is so funny. Oh, my gosh.
It looks really cool. We've already ordered a copy of it, so.
That sounds awesome. I don't know about gameplay, but story-wise, that is a winner right there.
Yeah, and supposedly it takes you through, like, all these other types of games. Like, there's a part where there's a Final Fantasy boss. And, like, it does its charged-up attacks, and it's got, like, its little bar that tells you what the attack is. But the whole time, you're just in a third-person shooter shooting it. That's just how it telegraphs its attack. It looks kind of cool. I really want to play this.
That sounds awesome. All right, so we'll definitely keep you posted on that. Here, I'll do these next couple real fast. Halo Wars, March 3. Everybody knows what Halo Wars is. Supposedly, it's all right. I don't give a shit. Fig doesn't give a shit. Empire Total War, March 3rd. If you like doing your empire, that's great. I don't give a shit. Fig doesn't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
Tom Clancy's Hawks. You're flying around in your airplane. I don't give a shit. Fig doesn't give a shit.
I don't give a shit.
All right, and Mad World.
I give a shit about Mad World. This looks kind of cool.
It looks awesome. I don't know anything about it. I just see screenshots with blood, black and white, and awesome shit happening in them.
Yeah, I just see random clips of people getting thrown into, like, wood chippers.
Do you know, like, what kind of game is it?
I have no clue.
We don't know anything. What? Video games. So Mad World, 10 stars.
the bouncer likes it.
All right, and then we get to Resident Evil 5 on March 13th. Hey, buddy.
Kind of like it, but not really. Like, I played the demo.
Yeah, I think everybody's a little leery about it.
The mechanic hasn't aged well at all.
The key is you got to be able to move and shoot at the same time, and you can't do that in Resident Evil. And
well, the thing is, like, honestly, like, this is a game I would have loved to have come out on the Wii.
That's true.
I would have totally stomached graphics that suck. You know, I don't need to see any next-gen goo in this one. Just give me a fucking light gun.
Right. Yeah, I think from a pure control aesthetic, this would have been a perfect fit for the Wii.
Because I'm gonna make a confession. I didn't play Resident Evil 4 for the longest time until it almost came out on the Wii.
Really? Dude, it's awesome on the Wii.
So I bought the GameCube version first, and I started playing it, and I was like, okay, well, this actually kind of sucks. You know, it's like the mechanic was really unintuitive. Like, I didn't know where my fucking red dot was.
Uh-huh.
And then it came out on the Wii, and I'm like, oh, well, I'll just buy it on the Wii. And I played it, and it was the most fucking awesome thing I've ever played in my life. Like, it was so awesome. Like,
no, yeah, it's amazing.
It just blew my brain out of my head. And it pisses me off that they did not put it out for the Wii, and they don't seem to have any intention of it.
Oh, I'm sure that they will put out another third-person action game in the style of Resident Evil 4 on the Wii. Whether that's actually going to be Resident Evil 5 or not is remains to be seen. But it seems like, you know, It seems like they'll get to that eventually.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where it's like, until Resident Evil 5 comes out in the Wii is dead to me.
All right, here, you hit up these last ones for us, Vic.
All right, last ones we got. GTA Chinatown Wars on March 17th. This is for your DS.
Have you seen this yet?
I have not seen it. Apparently, they're showing it off at Comic-Con in New York, which I didn't go to.
I just saw a, I was putting these in there, I looked up a picture. It's very cartoony. And it's top down like the original GTAs.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I don't know.
Then in that case, what's going to make or break it for me is, you know, do you control like up is up, down is down, left is left, right is right, or is up is up, down is backwards, left and right are turn your guy like a tank.
Oh yeah, that was awful. Yeah.
So if they do that, thumbs down.
Yeah.
I'll just skip it.
All right.
Round this out, we got Wanted Weapons of Fate, March 24th. I'm assuming it's a...
it's about that movie. It's a movie. Yeah.
It's a movie tie-in, but the movie was actually kind of good, so...
Maybe.
Whatever.
Jury's still out.
I liked it. I wasn't expecting any sort of grand, like, you know, fucking cinema with doves and shit. I, you know, just dudes curving bullets through pigs. So, yeah. Thumbs up.
Cool.
Pokemon Platinum on March 22nd.
I don't even know what this is. I put it in there. I don't even know what this is.
Is it new Pokemon?
I guess it's a new Pokemon. I couldn't find any info on it. I guess it's just the next one. Another Pokemon. Right, yeah.
And then one that I'm really looking forward to, actually, on March 29th is Guitar Hero Metallica.
Ooh.
So, you know, people like to shit on Guitar Hero now because, you know, the right people to root for is Harmonix and Rock Band.
Yeah.
But, you know, honestly, I've been playing through Rock Band 2. Their set list kind of blows.
Yeah, it's not as good as the first game, but keeping in mind that you can import all the first game and play it in the second, and you can get like the AC/DC track pack. Dude,
yes.
I have my Rock Band library in Rock Band 2 is 200 songs now. I love it.
Yeah, Rock Band has the better choices as far as downloadable stuff goes. In fact, I would go as far to say as, you know, the downloadable stuff in Rock Band is what I play. Like,
yeah.
But I'm going through like the actual like band.
Yeah, Guitar Hero,
kinda,
I think per tape has better music, but Rock Band overall, I think, keeping in mind you can import music and all that jazz, probably has a better set list.
Yeah, well, the thing is, even World Tour, Guitar Hero World Tour, I kind of skipped that. I was like, you know what? They're just ripping off Rock Band now. Right. I don't really give a shit. But then, you know, Metallica came out and or is coming out, and just the set list looks amazing.
Hmm.
Like this is, you know, it's going back to the original, you know, Guitar Hero 2. Like, you know, the people who bought Guitar Hero 1 are the hardcore gamers. Like, you know, they hadn't like taken off yet, so all those songs were people for those kind of people, like classic rock.
Yeah,
you know, like right. You know, hard rock. There isn't any songs by fucking Interpol on it.
Yeah. Oh my god. There's some really ass music in these. Any of these music games have really ass music.
So what?
I don't want to play Feist. Fuck you.
So Metallica took all awesome songs, and not only that, you know, it looks like they're doing away with the whole fucking super deformed guitarist characters.
Yeah,
and they're all, you know, it's like James Hetfield looks like James Hetfield. You know, it's like they're correctly proportioned. You know, the stages actually look like a Metallica show.
Uh huh.
So it looks really good, and then, you know, plus it has all instruments. Like, it's a world tour kind of game.
Uh huh.
And then, you know, it actually gives you an extra difficulty level on drums because Lars uses two kick pedals.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you know, so you can actually get a second one. I guess you get a splitter or something.
Uh huh.
And you can use two kick drums. And basically, there's a whole extra difficulty. I think it's Expert Plus.
Wow.
For drums, where you have to do that.
That sounds awesome.
So they're definitely, you know, catering to the old school Guitar Hero. The people who liked it before it was cool crowd.
Right. All right. So let's move on. Let's get to the world. Specifically, we're going to talk about a couple of tapes right now to round out the tape section of the show. I've been playing some games on my phone, on my iPhone recently that are awesome. And I feel like I gotta highlight some of the awesome shit that's happening in iPhone game development every now and then. So first up, I want to talk about Rolando. This game, the easiest way to describe it would be like Loco Roco, but on your iPhone, and it's awesome. You tilt it around, you make a little dude hop, and you go on an adventure, and it's awesome. It looks like a $30 game on my, you know, iPhone for like $5. So check out Rolando. Zenbound is a new one I just got the other day, and it's sort of like weird, and it has like a strong Asian element. And what you do is it kind of reminds me of those games you'd play, like Quicks, you know, where there's a bouncing thing and you have to draw. You know, draw to, you know, so, like sometimes you'll reveal the picture or whatever. Well, it sort of reminds me of that in that there's a figure with a rope attached to it. And what you have to do, and you can tilt the phone to move the rope around, and you can swipe the phone, touch the screen to move the figure. But you're trying to wrap up these figures with the rope, and the rope, like, paints the figure. And so you're trying to paint, like, as much of the figure you can with a limited amount of rope. So it's got this weird kind of soundtrack too. So, but I don't know. I've been playing it and I love it. Thumbs up on that one.
So it's basically Bondage the game.
Yeah, more or less. go tell your son to download it. I Dracula is one for you, Fick. I don't know if you. I told you buy this the other day.
I actually went and got this when you told me about it. And yeah. I played it. It's pretty good.
I mean, it's
not perfect by any means.
But the dynamic is very good. They got two wheels. It's like a eight directional shooter. They got two wheels. One is move. The other is shoot. And you just shoot off endless swarms of enemies.
Yeah, this is the first game that I've seen that actually pulls off a dual analog shooter.
Yeah, on the iPhone
and actually have it playable.
Right.
You know, like I've seen other games do it. Like, you know, there's a game called Dropship that tried, but they did it so bad that it wasn't fun at all. Like this one actually is, you know, I can control my guy and shoot in any direction, and it feels good.
Feels intuitive. Anyway, though, my pick of the month, or I don't know, my pick of all these iPhone games, my favorite has to be Tower Blocks. Now I don't know if you ever heard of Tower Blocks. But I got Tower Blocks about 2 years ago on my old cell phone.
Okay.
Here's how Tower Blocks works. It has one button the whole game.
Okay.
And you're trying to build a tower. So a crane is holding up like a floor of a building. And it's like a block floor. It's like a little square. And you press the 5 button on my old phone, and it drops a thing down. And it moves up a level. Now you're trying to drop another, you know, block on top of that block for a second floor, right?
Okay.
And you slowly start going up, 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 and it gets harder and harder because your tower will start swaying in the wind, and, you know, and the block will start kind of moving around. It's very difficult to time. And so it's very, like, very, very simple gameplay, but I don't know. I can't stop playing it. And on the iPhone now, the graphics are really, really awesome, and it's got a bunch of different modes you can play, so I love it. Tower Blocks. There's a demo of it. If you're not convinced, check it out. And that's
right. I read them.
That's Blocks with two X's. All right, and finally, I got to give an honorable mention to I Love Katamari on the iPhone. Now, when this game came out, it was ass. It had a whole bunch of bugs. It crashed all the time, and it got really crap reviews. Since then, however, though, I think they've dropped the price and they fixed all the bugs, and it's more or less a solid Katamari port for your iPhone.
Okay.
So if you're even remotely a Katamari fan, you should check out I Love Katamari. And then, Vic, you got one for us, right?
Yeah, like I'm going to go ahead and pimp all of our Freeverse things. So what I've been doing at Freeverse since I came to New York has all been iPhone stuff.
Right.
So the game that I have been working on with the majority of my time is Days of Thunder for iPhone. And basically this, you know, Days of Thunder is a racing game.
Uh-huh.
But, you know.
Now, it's based off the 80s Days of Thunder with Tom Cruise, right?
Yeah, it's based off a movie with Tom Cruise.
Now, I've never seen this movie, though. Have you? I mean, surely you have.
I have, okay. Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of cool. It's basically Top Gun in cars.
All right.
So, I mean, if you liked Top Gun, there's no reason not to like Days of Thunder.
Right.
So, but yeah, you know, Tom Cruise, the exact same character in both movies, you know, the exact same circumstances. He bumps into a chick along the way and, you know, she hates him and but then he bangs her halfway through and it's, you know, same formula.
Does the movie parallel the game or is it two different sort of plots?
The movie and the game are the same plot. It basically starts off, you know, you're a guy that can't look like Tom Cruise for legal reasons.
Okay.
So, like, You know, so you're sort of starting off as you're like an amateur, and you get, you know, you meet your pit chief, who for legal reasons can't look anything like Robert Duvall. So your pit chief looks like a 60-year-old Mario, and you're like this blonde kid.
Yeah,
but the names are the same. But yeah, we couldn't get any like the likenesses or anything. But basically, this is the only racing game that is in no way, shape, or form realistic.
No, absolutely. That's what I love about this game. You drive it, right? And then you hit... What's that button you hit? You like... What's it say? It's like turbo.
Yeah, it's basically in the movie, Tom Cruise drops the hammer.
Uh-huh.
So basically that means I'm going to make car go fast. So we put the hammer into the game. So when you draft a car for long enough, you can drop the hammer on him.
Right. And then
basically that's like turbo that takes you straight through the guy and knocks him about 30 feet up in the air, flaming away.
He explodes and dies. And that's how real racing works.
Yeah, basically, it's like the only racing game on the iPhone that's Burnout and not Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
So if you like Burnout, you go get Days of Thunder.
I think we've
upped it to $3 now.
Oh yeah.
Like it came out at $1, like an introductory price, and then we're sort of eking it back up.
Yeah.
So and, go get Days of Thunder.
And not only that, there's a secret character, is there not?
That there is. So we have a whole multitude of racers you can race against, and number 22 is none other than Blake Buck. So if you get Days of Thunder, you can race against and wreck Blake Buck.
No, you can be Blake Buck. That's your ultimate.
Yes, you can also if you wreck Blake Buck, and Blake Buck is your rival, which he is, because there's actually a line in the game where like. You know, like Mississippi is your home turf or something, and you like wrecking people for the home crowd and stuff like that. But if you can wreck Blake Buck on his home turf, then you unlock his, you know, you unlock him and you can beat him. So Blake Buck is like, you ever play F-Zero?
Uh-huh.
The Blake Buck is the red guy from F-Zero. So he's got like low acceleration, but he's got the high top speed and a lot of health.
I love it. So the truck.
So get Days of Thunder, you can blow shit up, and you can be Blake Buck.
And furthermore, if you've been bored this whole time, get you an iPhone. Why does anybody have a phone that's not an iPhone anymore? I don't understand. Why do they even manufacture phones that aren't iPhones anymore?
I don't know. I mean, and you know what? Like, you know what pissed me off? You've seen the BlackBerry Storm, right?
I think so.
So this is like the BlackBerry with a touch. Surely you've seen the commercials.
Oh yeah, where they're trying to compare the two.
Well, like yeah, what the commercials is always this dude. It's like showing out of his eyes. It's like a first person shooter. Only he's holding a phone.
Uh huh.
He's holding a BlackBerry, and then he gets all, you know. He's like, oh my god, this is a touchscreen BlackBerry. The screen clicks. Oh my god, I'm getting so aroused over this BlackBerry. It feels so right in my hands. Oh my god, someone rub my nipples while I'm using this fucking BlackBerry. No, shut the fuck up. I can't take those fucking commercials anymore.
I can feel a rage coming over the internet.
Like what happened was, like, I've been catching up with my Battlestar Galactica.
Uh-huh.
Recently, and I finally got to the point where I was like 4 episodes away. And I can start watching them on the Hulu.
Uh-huh.
So I'm okay. I'm gonna start watching them on Hulu. Like, I don't gotta borrow DVDs. I don't gotta buy them on iTunes. So basically, Hulu is it's sort of like YouTube, only it rebuffers every 3 minutes, and every 5 minutes it gives you that fucking BlackBerry Storm commercial where that guy rubs his nipples while he clicks a screen and looks up at the Verizon Wireless Network guy. So I watched exactly 1 episode of Battlestar Galactica on Hulu, and I was done with Hulu forever. I hate it. Hulu can burn in hell.
Well, all right.
So, but yeah, go buy Days of Thunder, and then, you know, if you want to go support Freeverse, go buy the rest of our games. We actually have a lot of good, you know, like there's the whole Flick Sports thing that we're doing. We have like fishing and bowling. And
I keep seeing you guys' games in iPhone commercials or iPod commercials.
Yeah, they just put Flick Fishing in an iPod commercial.
Yeah, I'll be out at the bar because I don't have TV at my house. But I'll be out at the bar. I was like, oh yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah, and then there's another one where they have the motorcycle game. It's called Moto Chaser. They have that one. They're playing that one on the TV also. So
yeah, that's cool.
So we got like 12 games out now. So go check us out. Look us up. Freeverse. Go buy our shit.
All right. Moving on. We already kind of talked about Fear. Camera work's awesome. More varied levels than the first, and sound design is excellent. So I'll be giving you guys a more in-depth review of Fear down the road once I beat it. Fear 2, that is.
Mm-hmm. And then we've also talked about Fable 2 and Fallout 3 quite a bit.
Right.
So, I mean, I think the only thing I would add to those is something that's pissing me off on games now is the is sudden and arbitrary moral choices.
Like, what? Give me an example of this.
So, like, you know, basically in Bioshock, okay?
Right.
Everyone knows in Bioshock you can be a good guy or you can be a bad guy. You can either be, you know, the savior of the world or you're Hitler.
Right. Nothing but in between.
Like it has nothing to do with how you play the game. When you go kill the big daddy and you go get the little sister, it's either, you know, press one button to save her and press one button to eat her face and suck her soul out.
Right.
So there's no, like, you know, and then, you know, everyone has said there's no in between, but basically, like, you know, it's basically press X to be good, B to be evil.
Right.
You know, or the other way around. I forget what the buttons were, but it doesn't matter. You know, it's basically one button is good button, one button is evil button. That's all that, you know, that's the only choice you make that determines whether you're good or evil.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, you know, and then Fallout 3 and Fable 2 does, they have that also. Uh-huh. You know, it's not as glaring as press one button to, you know, kill this child and one button to give the child candy, you know. but all the quests have, you know, have that...
Horns that, or that, wings on them.
Yeah.
Which one you want.
Yeah, exactly. Like they all have that. It's kind of like the two separate tubes. Like, here's your good tube, here's your evil tube.
Right.
So, I mean, it's starting to piss me off just because, like, you know, what if I just want to be just like a gray area? And then Fallout 3 does have like a neutral faction. Like, you can be good, evil, or neutral.
Right.
But that's just adding another tube.
Yeah. Now there's three tubes.
Now I have the good option, now I have the evil option, now I have the I don't give a shit about you option.
That sounds like my favorite option.
You know, it's kind of cool. It does fill a big void in, you know, because Fable 2 has good or evil.
Right.
You know, but so Fallout does have, like, that middle ground that you can just go in, and there's actually bonuses to being in there and that kind of thing, but the thing is, it's still a choice that I'm making. Like, I don't know, if you ever go on, like, MySpace or Facebook, and they have those personality tests, or like what TV character are you kind of tests.
Right.
Like, basically, they give you this multiple choice test, and based on your personality, they say, well, what TV character are you, like, on this show?
Uh-huh.
You know, like what Power Ranger are you or something, for instance.
Okay.
But the thing is, if you're familiar with the show, like, for instance, if... You know, I don't know if, like, you know, one Power Ranger is the mechanically minded guy, or better example, what Ninja Turtle are you?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, say if you want to take one of those tests, and basically the question is, what do you like the best? Do you like swords, bow staffs, nunchucks, or, you know, psi daggers?
Uh huh.
But each one of those clearly corresponds to one Ninja Turtle, and it's like, you know, it's not picking a Ninja Turtle for you based on your personality. You are choosing the Ninja Turtle on that question.
Right, yeah, it's not like I'm choosing to be... It's not like, oh, I just happen to be evil because of choices I'm making. I'm choosing, like, to be evil in these games. It's like, because I already know there are these presets.
Yeah, exactly. So, a better question would be, you know, asking you, you know, actually taking a personality test and then comparing that with what Ninja Turtle that corresponds to.
Right.
But no, it's more asking you, like, you know, or like if you were, you know, in a situation, like if you were in a bar fight, how would you handle it? And you know, and like one of them is like the quiet leader choice, which is a Leonardo Ninja Turtle. One of them is like the hothead Raphael choice.
Right.
You know, and it's very clear to you as you're taking this test what choice corresponds to what Ninja Turtle. So you're not really, you know, you're not really choosing, you know, it's not really picking your path based on who you are. It's, you know, basically it's giving you that choice is here's your good choice, here's your evil choice, what do you want to do?
Right. Well, so, right. Well, I think games will mature, you know, with this kind of thing as we go along.
Yeah, like it's that whole side of it is still very much in its infancy.
Right. All right, so moving along, Street Fighter 4, we already kind of talked about that one.
We talked about it.
And
what we haven't talked about though is Justin Fix brand new game. So Justin Fix brand new game is called Laserface Jones.
Dude, I love the title. That is the best.
Yeah, it's Laserface Jones versus Doomsday Odious.
Oh, I hadn't heard the subtitle.
So, yeah, so basically the, you know, the, if this is for the UDev Games 2008 contest, which actually wraps up tomorrow. Tomorrow is the deadline. So, it's not out at the time of recording, but there will be a final version by the time this show comes out.
Okay.
I'll put links to it on Big Hot Show on the forums and get everyone playing and all that good stuff. But right now, for now, you can go to udevgames.com, udevgames.com, and you can get all the information on it. Basically, Laserface Jones is Kill Monty in space.
Dude, I love it.
So it's kind of like take the control scheme of Kill Monty. So it's, you know, WASD move, mouse is aim and shoot, and put it into Gradius. So the whole premise of it is, you know, you're like this killer military robot, Laserface Jones, and there's like this giant space amoeba just going, you know, going through the galaxy called Doomsday Odious that's eating entire planets and all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. So you have to like blow through its, you know, shell, which is kind of like the rock zone, and then you get inside of it. So you're flying through blood vessels and
a meat hallway.
Yeah, meat tube. And you basically have to get, you know, blow it up from the inside. So like, it's like at the end of the game is actually a brain that you kill.
Uh-huh. I haven't gotten that. The version you sent me, I only played to like the, I don't know, about like halfway.
Yeah, the version I gave you was an older build. So like since then, I've added in the third level, I've added an ending. So it's almost done. I need to pull an all-nighter tonight.
Right.
And then it should be good to go. But it's kind of a short game. Like, it had to be 3 month effort, so it's three levels. But if it does good, I got some big plans for the Laserface Jones IP. You know, so like I made it very modular. Like, I can plug levels in, I can take levels out.
Yeah.
So later on, if it does good, I'm totally gonna put in more more levels, more misadventures for Laserface Jones.
Well, that's awesome.
So if you're a fan of Kill Monty, you know, or if you're not familiar with Kill Monty, which, what the fuck is wrong with you? If you like,
that's true. We're gonna have to change your fame to Laserface Jones fame.
I'm cool with that. I think it's about time. I think I've been Kill Monty fame for long enough. So
absolutely. So yeah. So we'll have it hosted on the site. You can download it from Big Hot Show, and there'll be links all over the show notes. You'll be able to find it. It's gonna be awesome. Laserface Jones.
Yep, and then one final note on it is that this is a contest, so the results of the contest are going to be put to a public vote. So once the voting starts, it should start Tuesday, so by the time you hear this, voting's already started.
You need to be voting.
You need to be voting for me. So I think I got one of the best games in the contest. I think, you know, I could definitely use everyone's votes and support. So vote for it. Tell your friends to vote for it. Spread the game around. You know, I want to spread this one out like wildfire. So
absolutely. So Laserface Jones, check the site and go vote.
Indeed.
All right. Now it's time for talk. All right, first up, we got a voicemail from KG from the forums.
Hey, it's KG. I just saw your Gristle video that you put up on YouTube. And I have to say that's probably the worst thing I've ever seen on the internet. Well, maybe not the worst, but probably the worst in a few weeks. But, man, you just took that too far, dude. You didn't have to put that in your mouth or anything. And that was really nasty. I know you're trying to make people laugh, or be shocking or something, but man, you just took that way too far. You're gonna have some kind of health problems. So man, that was really nasty.
Well, thank you.
Okay, well the obvious question is that actually drippings off of a Foreman grill that you are putting in your mouth?
No, it is in fact not drippings off a George Foreman grill. It was dark Cairo syrup was the bottom of it, and that stuff is super thick. And then on top of that was maple syrup, and then on top of that was a layer of vegetable oil, and we crushed up chocolate sprinkles and put it in there so it had little gristles in there.
Okay.
So it was all entirely edible. It was gross tasting, but I don't think it was bad for me.
Yeah, it wasn't like a heart attack waiting to happen. Actually, no, maybe it is, but...
Yeah. But the thing is, we've got a ton of videos. I have probably 7 or 8 videos that are ready to go online. I just hadn't put them on yet. So in the next week, I'm going to be adding a couple of videos, nice. More so in that vein. All right, let's move on to emails.
All right.
Our first one comes from Bartolucci. Dear BDPE, Bartolucci here. Loved your last show, regardless of your production time. Keep in mind, he wrote this in November. Your shows always bring smiles throughout my day, so don't give into the whiny bitches about the form, about the length. I'm working on 2 jobs and attending college, so I know the constraints that are present in life. Thank you, someone who is not bitching. Thank you. There's one on your team, Bartolucci. But enough of that. I got a college question for you guys. With all of this gaming college nonsense going on, what kind of schools are the real deal as far as prepping programmers for the world of game development? I'm tired of getting commercials about them, and I can just shrug but I can't just shrug the thought about my current college just not cutting the bread. Anyways, y'all rock. Fick is a BAMF. I guess that's badass motherfucker. Blake Smart and Pussy Doubler. Miller equals Conan.
Nice. Now is that Conan the Barbarian or Conan O'Brien?
Both at the same time.
Double the awesomeness.
Probably the best person to ask this to would be William Miller, and he is not here right now.
Well, the thing is, I sort of took the normal college approach to it.
Right.
And honestly, I would say that is still your best option. Like, I would say, like, if you want to be a programmer, then you go to normal college and you do computer science. And
right.
You get a 4-year degree. The thing is, like, all these game development things, they're trade schools, and they'll probably get you a job.
Right.
You know, I mean, because a lot of people do, you know, get talent from these things, and I think that's what William Miller did, too. Like the SCAD was a game development trade
right.
school, wasn't it? So, you know, so it obviously does get you a job in the industry, but... You know, I personally think that you'll be more well-rounded if you get the full college experience. Like, if you're a programmer, do, you know, computer science. If you're a, you know, if you want to be a designer, then you actually should get, you know, more of like a liberal arts, and then also take some programming as much as you can.
Right.
You know, I think, like,
experience?
Just having general experience in your field. Like, you know, if you want to be an artist, study art in college.
Right.
You know? So I'm not really sold on the game schools.
Right.
But, you know, they do give you job placement.
Well, Blake Buck's going to share with you his philosophy on life. This is his new philosophy on life. All right. Which would apply, I think, to your game school thing. Mm. Don't think, do.
Exactly.
That's it. That's all there is. It's 3 words. Don't think, do. There's no comma. Whatever you want to do, just go do it. Don't think, just do it. If you want to make games, start making games. If you want to start doing something, just start doing it. And eventually it's going to happen.
Dude, if we ever come out with a line of like athletic shoes, that is our slogan. Don't think, do. So the answer to the question is both of them will get you a job in the industry.
Right. So, I wouldn't be too worried about it, honestly. Just do it. All right, I'm going to take this next email. Zap Brannigan of Album Art fame says, apparently William Miller is Archie. View the attachment. So if you go to bestdamnpodcastever.com/showfiles/archiemiller.jpg, it's haunting how close this is to something he said not too long ago. But it's a Archie comic from, like, I don't know, it looks like the 50s, judging by how old it looks. Mm. It says, Betty and Me. And Archie is rescuing this girl from the ocean. And, you know, he's got her there. And she asks him, Archie, did you have any trouble rescuing me? And then there's these 3 dudes with stars on their head kind of off in the distance. And Archie says, I sure did, Betty. I had to beat off the 3 other guys. So there you have it.
I also like how beat off is in very like, bold red italics.
Yeah. And they have stars around their head. That's that's part of it.
The beating off of dudes is very prevalent in this comic cover.
All right, Texas, take this next email.
All right. So Tim N. writes us, says, "Hey, gang, your podcast is the best. Guess that's why they call it Best Damn Podcast Ever. But I want to know what you think about the game Left 4 Dead. It came out on the Xbox 360. Just wondering what you think. Oh, and what's the business with the Blake Smart and Dumb? Just wondering." All right.
No one knows. The last question there. No one knows.
Well, the thing is, the last one, we started that.
Did we?
Yeah,
I guess
like,
we did.
I remember. I think I actually made some reference to the you know because people were putting Blake Dumb at the end of their
emails,
and then you told people to start putting Blake Smart. And then I made some reference to, about the forums breaking out into two factions. And they did. and it is probably the coolest thing I've ever seen on any forum ever. Our forum is now in constant civil war.
But getting back to Left 4 Dead. I bought Left 4 Dead for PC. Me and four friends bought it. We played it. It was awesome. But we just hadn't really played it much since then. I think your fun with Left 4 Dead is directly proportionate to how many friends you have who are willing to play it with you.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's still a fun game if you're alone because the AI isn't completely stupid.
Yeah, it's not bad, but you know, the problem is logistically working out all four, because there are only four of us have this game. Working out a time when all four of us can play it at the same time is kind of hard, so I actually haven't played it that much.
It's kind of like coordinating a podcast, almost.
Almost. All right, we're actually going to skip this next email. Spawn was trying to make his shirts a while back, and I guess he never did, because Miller could never find the image, so thank you for... Nice effort, but we're getting to shirts. It's slowly going to happen.
We gotta swap out the images now. We need truck shirts.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. We're still getting all the site, you know, integrated and whatnot. All right, here, I'll take this next email. I remember a while ago, you guys talked about a picture of a guy eating corn and having sex and the girl's expression and all that. Well, I found this the other day and it made me laugh. So he's got a link here, actually. I'm not going to read this whole one.
Safe for work porn.
Oh, it's, so. He's just covered. Someone has covered up this image with...
Yeah, I think we can stick that in the album art.
Yeah, we'll post a link to this in the album art. It's pretty funny though. It's the same image, but it's safe for work now.
Yeah, it's been drawn over. it is now a well dressed man exchanging goods and services with a dwarf of a corn store owner.
All right, so take this last email for us, Justin Fick.
All right, we pop on back to the wiki here. Okay, Zolart, this is Thomas K. writes in. God, this is a long one.
Yeah, but you can paraphrase if you want.
All right. I don't know when you will read this email or what episode you will read it on, but the offer will always be there. Always making us an offer. I, Thomas Carlson, would like to ask you to come to my site, aafl.se. Why I ask this is because I can offer you fans what you can't... Oh, I can offer your fans what you can't, and you can offer me more of what I want, material on my site, plus more people on my site. Interesting. Well, Miller, I don't know how long that website has been like that, and will probably always be like that, since you said you won't work on it if Blake don't do them shirts. Well, the site is fucking done, so you need a bowl of dicks. Therefore, this would be much better, since I always update and work on my site. If you would come to... Okay, I'm gonna skip ahead here. Blah, 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 blah. Blake would never need to pay for the site. Get updates. He'll fix our t-shirt problem. Shops. And nothing needs to change. You will still be BDPE. You will still get your own BDP blog going for each and everyone if you want it. Basically, he's offering to buy us out.
Well, I think that there is some appeal in this in that, like... A lot of the technical stuff that I have to do to, like, make the show work, I would no longer have to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, William Miller, the site doesn't work. Oh, well, I'm busy, you know? It would be nice to have someone who would actually fucking do work, you know, when we need things fixed. Mm-hmm. But I think for now we're going to have to decline your offer of buyout.
Yeah, answer is no.
But, actually,
you know what? On that topic, though, I had an idea. I don't know if I ever told you about it, but... And maybe we could you know, put it on the air, you know, see what people think, but a different way of recording these shows that would actually make the turnaround a lot faster.
Oh, really?
So right now, you and I, we both record our heat locally.
Right.
We upload our heat to a place where Lucas then gets that heat and then combines it into mega heat, and then puts it back up, and then after that doesn't like Zap Brannigan grab it and put some album art in,
right?
All that kind of stuff. So why don't we just starting next show, my suggestion is, so Blake Buck, you record everybody on Skype,
one big feed.
When that's done, upload done.
Well, the problem with that is there'd be a definitely noticeable loss in audio fidelity on all the people who are on Skype. Mm-hmm. Not only that, we still have to edit out, like, sometimes we have, like stuff will happen, or we get a, you know, we still have to edit portions.
Of course, give it the editing pass, put in the music, you know, bleep out anytime I drop, like, NDA shit on accident or on purpose.
Right.
Because that's what I do on this show. But, just basically give it the once-over and then send it off along on its merry way.
Well, again, we would be taking at least noticeable. I mean, it's noticeable to me. Whether other people notice the, you know, drop in audio fidelity is another question, because our listeners are stupid. But, I don't know. I still like having, like, at the end of the day, we still have a really good-sounding show. And I think, I mean, I don't know. I kind of like that.
Right now, each one of us sounds as if we're recorded locally, because we are.
Right. I don't know. If it keeps taking Lucas a long time, the last show in particular, it took him a while to get together. So if it still takes him a while to get shows together, we may consider doing that. But we'll see.
Right. Yeah. Just putting it out there. No. Definitely no. No disrespect to Lucas. He does a good job.
Yeah.
But just a thought to it. Increase the turnaround.
Right. All right. Well, I think we've reached the end of the show.
That just about wraps it.
Oh, well, this has been a long one. Then again, we had a lot of stuff to catch up on. So.
Yeah, a lot to catch up on. The thing is, we've actually had all the same, you know, like a lot of the same concepts, just, you know, just rearranged, I guess.
Right.
And relabeled. So yeah,
absolutely.
I would say it's pretty solid. But let us know success of the new format.
If you want to send us an email, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or call our listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. If you got something to say, if you want to donate to us, it's donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com. There are links on the show notes and in the album art. I don't know if we talked about this on the November show, because that was the last show we did, but somebody broke our Google ads. They done abused them, and now they accused us of cheating the system, and that we don't have Google ads anymore. So, donate at bestdamnpodcastever.com instead.
And then I guess, you know, it's probably obvious to us, but maybe not obvious to all the listeners, but
BigHotShow.com. BigHotShow.com. Eventually, we're going to roll all these into one. The problem is that I don't know. I know how to do basic stuff on HTML, that kind of thing. I really need William Miller to set up the databases, and he's always so busy. I never get a hold of him, but eventually, we're going to roll the two sites into one, and you guys are even now. You guys should be having a lot more content in the feed, so I'm going to try and get that at least three or four things a week now in the feed, as opposed to once every 3 months.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a good mix of podcast and not podcast.
Right. And the other stuff is funny. You know, I posted some remixing I've been doing on DJ. Doing DJ stuff, videos and stuff, radio stuff. So there's stuff in there to have fun. It may not be BDPE, but you're still getting new content regularly, which I think is the main thing our site was lacking before.
Yeah, and then BDPE is still in there too, so.
Absolutely. So I guess that wraps it up from all of us here at Best Damn Podcast Ever and Big Hot Show. I'm Blake Buck.
I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time.
Stuff, isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm a girl who has everything? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around, do you think?
Sure.
She's got everything. I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've got who's it's and what's it's galore. You want thingamabobs?
I've got 20.
But who cares? No big deal. I want more.
wanna see him dancing, walking around on those, what do you call them? Oh, feet. Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing, strolling along down the, what's the word again? Street. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun, wandering free. Wish I could be part of that world. What would I give if I could live out of these waters? What would I pay to spend a day warm on the sand? But on land, they understand that they don't reprimand their daughters. Red young women, sick of swimming, ready to stand. I'm ready to know what the people know. Ask my questions and get some answers. What's a fire and why is it? What's the word? Burn. When's it my turn? Wouldn't I love to explore the